Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us, speaking of the arts. I'd like right now to welcome to the program Catherine Lindberg. She is with Santa Fe Habitat for Humanity. She's a board member, and she is co-chair of the Family Selection Committee, and Devin Peterson, who is the director of Family Services for Santa Fe Habitat for Humanity. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So let's just start with this, because some people may not know. What is Habitat for Humanity?
Habitat for Humanity is an organization that was founded in 1976 by Millard and Linda Fuller, and the organization helps families into affordable homeownership. We work with families who would have no other way of becoming homeowners through our family selection and family support programs.
And so this is, I always associate it with Jimmy Carter.
Ah, yes. Jimmy Carter, President Carter, made Habitat for Humanity a household name, but it was actually founded before that by the Fullers.
So here in Santa Fe, we have a situation that surprised me a lot. I would have thought that there was a 10-year waiting list to get a Habitat for Humanity house, but instead, you are actually looking for qualifying people or families.
We absolutely are. We don't know whether it's a function of the economy, that families were afraid to come forward. We don't know whether they believe that perhaps they don't make enough money. We don't know why our applicants have fallen off.
Not making enough money is the qualification for being in a Habitat house.
Absolutely.
So how does it actually work? Let's say you are a single person with, you know, seriously low income, or maybe a mother of three or something like that. I mean, how do you know if you qualify for Habitat for Humanity House?
Well, applicants may call the office and ask those questions. We also have flyers and information that we disseminate around town. We ask them please to look for that in laundromats, etc. But if they do have questions, to call the office.
Let's talk about just specifics for a moment. If you are a single mother of two, what do you have to do or be to qualify for Habitat for Humanity House?
Well, our income, we have income guidelines, and our program is based on need, ability to repay a mortgage, and willingness to partner with Santa Fe Habitat. Part of the need are our income guidelines, and for a family of three, the minimum income is $18,350 with a maximum of $30,550 per year.
So if you're somewhere in there, you qualify.
You would qualify, again, based on
other
the income
well.
Alone. Yes, of course. And So then there's more to need than just income, living situation, overcrowding, and other things as well. And then, of course, ability to pay a mortgage.
The mortgage is pretty low, isn't it?
Mortgages stay beneath 30% of the family's income.
And our mortgages do include not only the principal toward the mortgage, but escrow accounts for property taxes and home insurance, so that our families will never lose a home because they forgot to pay the taxes or forgot to pay the insurance.
So let's say somebody comes forward and they qualify on all counts for Habitat for Humanity House. What happens then? What's the process like from beginning to end?
They come in and meet with us, and we sit down and explain to them our application process. Our application is extensive. It is not an easy process. In fact, we do everything that a bank does, except that a bank's bar is much higher than ours.
So you basically are looking for responsible people.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. We do pull credit reports, and those are important to us. However, Habitat for Humanity does not require perfect credit as a bank would.
What happens next? So you go through this application process, the person gets approved.
Yes. Once the person is approved, then Devin, as Director of Family Services, will pair them up with what we call an advocate. This is a person that works with them throughout the process of building their home, learning about home ownership, taking courses in financial fitness. We don't just accept them the way a bank would and then say good luck.
Right.
We're with them the entire way through the process.
And I think that's something that really does set us apart, is that this is a home ownership program. And so what we're doing is working with the family to help them become successful homeowners. So as Catherine mentioned, we have classes. Families also complete sweat equity, which is it's part of their down payment. And so a single mortgage signer would complete 350 hours of sweat equity building Habitat homes, so their home and their neighbors' homes. And then multiple signers would complete 500 hours of sweat equity. And that usually takes place in about 1 to 2 years. So families are on site and building at least once a week in general.
When a home is about to be built, what, if any, is the input that the family has on what that home is going to look like?
Very little. We have what we refer to as our basic house design criteria. Habitat International actually limits the size of homes. Our homes are simple, decent homes. There are no upgrades allowed. The family may do whatever they like after they move in, but our houses are simple, decent houses.
What do you mean there's no upgrades allowed?
If a family would like to have a tile floor instead of the cement floors that we currently pour with radiant heat, they may put that tile down after they move in, not before.
Ah, okay. And so the process of building, like let's say a family is approved and they go ahead and they go through the whole process, they've never picked up a hammer in their life. What's that like?
We train them from day one. So some of the skills that our families acquire are, of course, construction skills. And part of the reason that we have them built on site is so that the families can fix their own problems if they have minor problems with the house. So say 5 years down the line, they've got a leaky sink. They don't have to call a plumber. They can fix it themselves. And most of our families know better where the pipes and the mechanical systems are in the house than anybody else. They put it in, they know where it is.
And presumably they still have the plans.
Of course, of course. So our families go ahead and build on site and they learn construction skills. And part of our program is training them with, you know, to have those construction skills. So we have AmeriCorps members and regular volunteers who work specifically with the families to train them on site.
What about kids? Do you have 6-year-olds, 12-year-olds? Is there any age limit of what the kids who can work on site?
Yes, we do have limits. No children under the age of 16 are allowed on the site while building is going on. And in order to use power tools, they must be 18 or over.
Uh-huh. And do you end up having kids, you know, teenagers and older?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only children of the families, the partner families, we call them at this point, once they have been accepted for partnership, but we have other young people from around town, groups from high schools come and build as a volunteer commitment to the committee, to the community.
Could I go back to your question just for a minute? Catherine mentioned simple, decent, affordable homes, which is what we built. They're very nice homes, though. Mm. They come with stained concrete floors, radiant heat, HRV systems, which recirculate air. So they're built to green code. The city, they're actually built above the city's standard green codes. And so
south-facing windows, passive solar, all that stuff?
On some of them, yeah, depending on what the lot size is and where we can face them. So they really are very, very nice homes. And when you drive through a neighborhood, you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that home from any of the other homes in the neighborhood. And our houses do come with optional upgrades, washers and dryers,
dishwasher, disposal, ice maker.
So there are, the families do have some choices also about colors of their cabinets and colors of their countertops and things along those lines.
Right.
To make them, to personalize the house.
Right, exactly. Now, how long has this been going on in Santa Fe?
We are celebrating our 24th anniversary this year.
And how many houses is that?
We are building our 80th, we'll be celebrating our 80th house in February will be when the celebration takes place. The house will actually be complete a little bit before then, but celebrating our 80th house.
Now, if somebody wants to qualify, I mean, how many houses are you planning to build? You're qualifying families and individuals right now. But, I mean, are you talking about 10, 20, 3, 1?
We wish 20. We have been building 6 to 7 houses a year in the past few years. We obviously would like to be able to build more. We need volunteers on the job site to help us build homes. But for right now, it's about 6 houses a year.
And is the limitation on that volunteers, or is it funding to actually do the building?
It's a combination of both. Trying to find affordable land is one of the biggest challenges that we face, and then volunteer labor. And recently, we've just had a quiet time with volunteers. So we're always looking for people who are willing to come out on the site, work a day, even if it's a day a year. That's one more person on site.
I would think that with the economic downturn and not as much building going on, that there would be all sorts of builders who would volunteer their time.
Some have come forward, and we would love to have more.
Once a family moves in, do you then follow up with them?
Absolutely. Part of my position as Director of Family Services is maintaining a relationship with the family after they've moved into their home. And we've had some families who've come back and volunteered on our family selection committee and even served as advocates for other families. So some families stay very, very connected, and we always encourage families to stay connected and build on site and volunteer in any way they can.
Do they tend to like doing it? I mean, are they like bringing the new crop of people into the fold, so to speak?
Absolutely. It's just exciting to us when families do decide to stay involved and help us with family selection and with seeing another family through the process. We would love to have all of our families completely involved, but we're delighted with the number who do stay involved. And a good example of families staying involved is 2 years ago now, we had families got together and raised enough funds to build 2 houses in Egypt, so Habitat in Egypt. And they did that all on their own and did a really fantastic job making that happen through yard sales and selling
bake
tickets
sales.
And bake sales and everything. So
Amazing. It
really was incredible.
How long does it take on average, from the beginning of the application process when somebody walks in to the day they move in?
It's difficult to say because each family is a little different, and sometimes the file is what I call very clean, and we can move very, very quickly to get them approved. Most families are in the application process for 3 to 4 months before they are approved. Once they are approved, as Devin pointed out, if we have land that we can begin building on immediately, it could be another 6 to 8 months before they move in.
That's not
so
that bad.
It's not. The figures that Devin used really are our worst-case scenario, but this is what we like to tell families. If we tell them 18 months and they're in their house in 12, then they obviously are delighted and not disappointed at
right.
a longer time. So
right, exactly. And considering that construction projects usually take so much longer than anybody estimates, that's pretty good numbers.
It can. In general, we do stick to a schedule and build our houses within the 3 to 4 months. I mean, that is pretty much when our houses are completed.
Always in the summer, presumably?
All year round. We build all year round.
Is that right?
We sure do. We mostly have inside work in the winter.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Can a family, once they go through the whole thing and own the house and everything, sell the house?
Yes, absolutely. However, since they have bought that house at a reduced price, we have silent second mortgages.
What's that?
Okay. The family buys the house and their mortgage is $100,000. It cost us $150,000 to build it. We have a silent second mortgage of $50,000 on that house. So, in other words, they could not move into the house on a Tuesday, sell it on Wednesday, and make a $50,000 profit.
Right.
It protects us. If they stay in the house for the full life of the mortgage, pay it off, it disappears. They never owe it to us. They get that house for $100,000. But yes, they may sell the house. We actually had one very happy circumstance a few years ago. A woman who was in a Habitat house fell in love with a man from Texas. He said, marry me, but you must move to Texas. And she said, I'd love to, and so sold her house. We are given first dibs on the house to buy it back at market value. We can't afford that. The houses are already worth too much. So she sold her house, paid her silent second, and moved to Texas.
Now, where are you going to be building? Do you have some land right now that you have at your disposal?
We do. Right now we're building in Tierra Contenta, and we will continue to build there. I don't know if for the foreseeable future is the correct term, but I think that's as close to correct as we'll get. So we have some lots in Tierra Contenta.
And so that's if people want to apply, and part of why you're here today is to encourage people to apply. That's where they would end up living.
Yes.
So how do people reach you?
They can call the office and speak with me. Our number is 505-986-5880, and I'm Devin at Extension 13.
What if people want to volunteer?
They actually will speak with me as well. I'm going to be the volunteer director again here shortly. So after the 15th of this month, they can call me at the same line, same extension.
Excellent. Now, does anybody ever donate, leave in their will, whatever land?
Not to my knowledge. It has happened in other affiliates, other places in the country, but as far as I know, not in Santa Fe.
Now, Habitat for Humanity also has this lovely place called the Restore.
It sure does. The Restore is located on Cerritos Road. We have, for those of you who have been here a long time, it's in the old Hastings building.
Right.
At 2414 Cerritos. And the Restore sells recycled and slightly gently used furniture and construction materials. It's a fantastic place. They're constantly getting new donations and new materials daily. And so the inventory does change daily. And it's a great place to find supplies for building or for your home. And it also funds 3 Habitat homes per year.
That's amazing.
It truly is.
Where does the stuff come from?
It comes from mostly from donations from people around town who are moving or changing their lifestyle and getting rid of furniture. And then we also have some very good connections with suppliers in town. And so if there's a change order or something that is confused, we will benefit from that.
Nice. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there. I still have my... They look like 1940s vintage green filing cabinets. I love those things. They're built to last.
Yes.
You never know what you're going to find in the Restore. So how did each of you get involved in Habitat?
Well, I knew I wanted to work in the nonprofit sector, and I came from real estate, and so it was a nice dovetail to go from building and renting houses to working with families in home ownership. But I did. It was always my desire and my passion to work in a nonprofit setting. And I've been here for 5 years, been with Habitat for 5 years.
Nice.
Habitat has always been one of my passions, and I have been with this affiliate as a volunteer for 10 years. And as soon as we moved here, I walked in, and the executive director was sitting there with another volunteer, and I said, I'd like to volunteer, and they said, would you like to be an advocate? And I said, absolutely. What's an advocate? And I've never looked back.
What is an advocate?
An advocate is the person who is assigned, that Devin would assign to a family once they've been chosen, who will hold their hand throughout the entire building and homeownership process.
Habitat for Humanity is on the web at santafehabitat.org, and the phone number is
5880.
Devin Peterson is the Director of Family Services at Habitat for Humanity Santa Fe, and Catherine Lindberg is a board member, and she is co-chair of the Family Selection Committee. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank
Charlotte.
You so much for having us.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with Rob DeWalt. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome to the program Rob DeWalt. He's with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday art supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He is with us every Friday, just about, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy almost fiestas.
Yes.
Right? It's almost Fiesta de Santa Fe.
I know.
Coming up, we've got what? We've got Zozobra. It's Thursday.
Zozobra.
And I won't be here. That's a shame.
Yeah, and you won't be here Friday either. Robert Knott will be with us a week from today.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. Zozobra, all kinds of interesting things happening Fiesta-wise. But before that, we have this weekend to take care of.
Yes, let's take care of this weekend.
Lots of art openings. Heidi Lowen Porcelain Gallery over there on Johnson Street has a show opening tonight. Smokin' Hot, Smoke-Fired Porcelain and Gold-Leaf Vessels by Heidi Lowen.
Excellent.
Reception 5 to 8 p.m. tonight. That's up through September 28th. In the spirit of Fiestas and Zozobra, Flying Cow Gallery at Warehouse 21 is opening their annual Will Schuster Zozobra Art Show. It's sort of the official 2011 Zozobra poster. And there's going to be photographs of historical and contemporary art depicting Zozobra, and a poster signing and a reception. And that's a 4 to 8 p.m. today only. So if you want to go get a poster and get it signed, that's the place to do it. Warehouse 21 in the rail yard, 1614 Paseo de Peralta, warehouse21.org. Go ahead.
I have one.
Yes.
Shine On Pakistan. Now, we interviewed the folks from Pakistan and from this group about the flooding in Pakistan and what they had going on in folk art market. So they're having a folk art sale to benefit Pakistani flood victims this Labor Day weekend. So today from 5:30 to 7:30, there's a wine and cheese reception. And then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from 10 to 4 each day at the Museum of International Folk Art, they are selling all kinds of good things from handbags, jewelries, textiles, lacquerware, these beautiful quilts, so all sorts of good stuff from Shine On Pakistan.
And is that one day or 2 days?
3 days.
3 days.
Today, tomorrow, and let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days, and Monday.
Oh, Labor Day.
Yes, including Labor Day. So tonight it's from 5:30 to 7:30, and every other day it's from 10 to 4.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. I wonder where they got the name Shine On, like Shine On You Crazy Diamond, like the Pink Floyd song, or?
That's probably pretty much it. Yeah. That's Pink Floyd is from Pakistan originally, but they don't like to talk about that.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Well, that's too bad. Red Dot Gallery is having an opening tonight. Digital Art by Santa Fe Community College students. That's over there on Canyon Road, 826 Canyon Road. There's a reception tonight from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m., and that's up through October 3rd. And see, Mirador Gallery on Canyon Road, 616 Canyon Road. Rebels is a group show of contemporary Chicano and Native work. I think our good friends at Apache Skateboards have some work up. They were involved in Santa Fe Indian Market.
Apache Skateboards.
Yes, yes, yes. They do lots of design work and contemporary design work for skateboards and just art in general. So that's pretty fun. The Fiesta Melodrama opens tonight, right? I think they're doing it different this year. There's an 8 p.m. Show, and there's a late night show at 10:15 p.m.
That's nice.
Yeah, and this, I think it's kind of like, I think this might be sort of like the gala tonight or something. I'm not sure. But there's a story on page 20, and there's...
Is it the only late night show, or are there late night shows
think
all the time?
There are, well, here's the deal. There are shows at 8 and 10:15 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, September 2nd and 3rd. And then and Sunday, September 4th, and also Friday through Sunday, through September 11th, there are performances. If you want to know where the late night shows are, you should go to the website or call the box office at 988-4262. But this a really interesting name this year is A Corrupt Campaign Contributor's Combustible Conspiracy to Trick Trepidatious Townsfolk and Take Over the Territory, or Radio Killed the Honky Tonk Star, or Something's Rotten in the Territory of New Mexico, or A Fistful of Danish. So I'm going to go at some point this weekend. I don't know when.
Excellent.
Probably Sunday, because there's a lot going on this weekend.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The Mosaic Dance Company is having a fundraising performance on behalf of Seeds at the Dragonfly School. It's an all-ages event on the outdoor stage on Monday, Labor Day, at 7 in the evening. Dragonfly School is at 935 Alto Street. And for more information, you can call 986-6164.
Ah, there's on Monday at 6 p.m. on Labor Day, there is Roads to Memphis, the Paths of James Earl Ray and Martin Luther King Jr. It's sort of a discussion of Hampton Sides' book by Hampton Sides as part of the Southwest Seminars weekly lecture series. That's 6 p.m. Monday at the Hotel Santa Fe. And there is an admission fee. If you call 466-2775, you can find out more details about that. Have you read that book?
Oh, yeah. I've talked to Hampton Sides a couple of times about it, once on the show, and then once we did a discussion at Collected Works Bookstore that we also aired on the show. And it's a good book.
Yeah. This is a mariachi week, for sure. And once I can find it, I will let you know all about it.
And while you're finding it, I will tell you about something going on at Collected Works Bookstore. Granta Magazine is marking the 10th anniversary of 9/11 with a special issue called Granta 116 to be introduced at 50 panel discussions around the world this month. And at Collected Works on Wednesday, the 7th of September at 6 o'clock, they are going to have novelist Bodhicitta Kapoor and former CIA operations officer Valerie Plame in conversation with veteran journalist and interviewer Lorene Mills from Report for Santa Fe. And they're all fabulous people, and the event is free. 988-4226 is the number.
Sweet. Okay, the mariachi is sort of integral to the Fiesta de Santa Fe celebration. And at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, September 4th at the Santa Fe Opera, there is Mariachi Extravaganza. And this year we have Grammy Award-winning L.A. ensemble Mariachi Los Camperos de Nati Cano. We have Albuquerque native Gregorio Aragon. And Mariachi Tradicional. And then Powaki Dance Troupe Valle Ilusion Folklorico. And then on Wednesday, September 2nd at 10 a.m. or September 7th, excuse me, at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at the Lenzer Performing Arts Center, there is a Concierto de Mariachi Matinee, so a bunch of mariachi groups, and tickets are very cheap for the one at the Lenzic. If you go to the website, you can get tickets through there, or you can just walk up to the box office.
Excellent.
So, a big day, big week for mariachi in Santa Fe because, of course, of fiestas, which brings us to Saturday's Fiesta de los Niños, which is a two-day event with hands-on activities for kids and live music and sing-alongs, and there's a puppet show 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. At El Rancho de las Golondrinas, way out there. And that's, of course, is Saturday and Sunday. And you can call 471-2261 for info.
When's the pet parade?
When is the pet parade? Well, isn't that... That's not until, like...
The Saturday of Fiesta.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the following...
It's always so early in the
weekend.
Morning that I never... That I don't
I
get to it,
I
but...
Don't get to it either.
Maybe this year I'll dress up like a little kid and bring my dogs.
Bring your pets. Bring your dogs. That's okay. I've already talked about mariachi. We've been mariachied to death this morning, so I'll move on. The annual burning of Will Schuster's is over. I already talked about this,
yes.
Right? That's Thursday at 3 p.m. at Zozobra Burns at Dusk. This is at Fort Marcy Park, of course. If you call the Kiwanis Club of Santa Fe's Zozobra hotline at 660-1965, you can find out more. I don't know. Does Zozobra have a Twitter account this year? Does he have a Twitter account this year? He did last year.
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay.
I don't tweet.
You don't tweet? You're not a Twitterphile?
It's all I can do to keep up with Facebook.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to stay off of Facebook for the most part now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Your Facebook is always so funny and charming.
I know. That's what I should probably reserve most of my funny and charming for real life.
Yeah, that is... a thought.
Yeah. Death Along the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, 1670, the Bernardo Gruber story. This is an interesting story. And Joseph P. Sanchez is going to be delivering the 2011 Fiesta de Santa Fe lecture exploring the Spanish Inquisition's case against Gruber and his escape from jail and his mysterious death. And there's a story in today's Pasatiempo, a wonderful story by Casey Sanchez on page 36. It's an interesting story about the Spanish Inquisition and New Mexico and how that all worked out and the impact of that.
I got a notice from Food Not Bombs about the Taos premiere of the documentary Better This World. It tells the tale of idealism, activism, crime, and betrayal, how do two boyhood friends from Midland, Texas find themselves accused of domestic terrorism. And you can see it even before it airs on PBS tonight at 7 o'clock at the Barreiss Gallery, B-A-R-E-I-S-S, I don't know how you say that, Gallery, which is on Route 150, just north of KTAO Radio in Taos. It's free admission, and there will be vegan food and discussion.
Pope Speaks continues at the Lodge at Santa Fe. Flutist Robert Mirabal's one-man show about the history of the 1680 Pueblo Revolt. And there are performances throughout the week. Most of them start at 8:30 p.m., and this is at the Maria Benitez Theater at the Lodge at Santa Fe. If you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can find out more info. I believe it's reviewed. Was it reviewed this week in Pasatiempo? I think it was. Yes. No. God of Carnage. I'm sorry. God of Carnage was reviewed, and that is the play that is happening at. Where's that happening? God of Carnage is happening at the Armory for the Arts. It's a Fusion Theater Company production, and it's a comedy by Yasmina Reza, and it's at 8 p.m. tonight at the Armory for the Arts, and that's over there on Old Pickles Trail. Review in today's Pasa on page 22, and that continues through Saturday, September 3rd of this weekend.
Excellent. I saw a screening of a play called The Way with Martin Sheen and his son Emilio Estevez playing father and son, and there was just a couple of special screenings at the screen, and I think it's coming out sometime in the next few weeks, so just heads up, ladies and gentlemen, a good movie. No car chases, no romance, no fighting, no pretty young things. It's a movie about real grown-up people. I loved it. It was so good.
And what is,
and a
what
pilgrimage.
Is it about?
What happens is, I don't want to give too much away, but basically the father loses his son, and his son was about to go on a pilgrimage, so the father goes on that pilgrimage in France. And so the whole thing is shot on location and shot in order. From where this 800-kilometer pilgrimage begins to its end.
Oh, wow.
In France and Spain.
That sounds really good.
It's really good.
And it comes out in a week or two, you think?
Yeah, we'll watch for it. And I'll try to, if I can, I'll try to get one of those guys on the air.
Let's see, what else is happening? Octopus Garden, new paintings by Joel Nakamura. I wrote a story about it in today's Pasatiempo. This is over at the Han Ross Gallery on Canyon Road. Joel Nakamura. Wonderful artist, really great guy. His second passion in life is Aikido, and I think my goddaughter is going to go take classes from him because she's really interested in that sort of martial art,
nice.
I guess you would say. But these octopus paintings are kind of amazing. What he does is he sort of plays off the fact that if you ever look at an octopus, they have sort of this slimy thing on the outside of their skin, and you can. It's almost like looking at a lava lamp or a kaleidoscope, you can imagine, or clouds, you can imagine other things within them.
Uh-huh.
And so he's sort of riffed on that. And so he's got like an octopus painting where the head of the octopus is an artichoke flower. And there's one where the arms are gummy worms.
Ah, I'm looking at them now,
yeah.
Yes.
And there is an opening tonight at Han Ross Gallery on Canyon Road, 409 Canyon Road, from 5 to 7 p.m. The show is up. It's a short run, actually, I think, but it's up through September 14th. There's going to be other work shown there, but the focus is really these octopus paintings, which are fantastic to look at. What else? Well, there's just tons of art openings this week. There's Llewellyn Gallery downtown has Fauna, Fruit, and Fables in Caustic Paintings by Keith Johnson. Reception from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. That's up through October 2. Waxlander Gallery has Ode to Land and Sky. Paintings by Matthew Higginbotham. And there's a reception from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. And that's up through September 12. Huge selection of openings that are listed in the Pasatiempo today.
Excellent. Oh, so many.
Oh, so many. Oh, so many. And there's some great live music around, too. We have Bruce Dunlap is playing over at his gig performance space tonight. I believe that starts at 8 p.m., and that's over at, on 2nd Street, 1808 2nd Street, I think Unit H. If you go to gigsantafe.com, you can find out more info on events happening, or the gigs happening at Gig. And then lots of community events. We've got the Labor Day Fine Arts and Crafts Market, which is happening. It's of course, presented by the Santa Fe Fiesta Council. And that is 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. On the plaza. And I believe that's Saturday and Sunday. Yes. No, that's a 3 days. It's, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And basically 9 to 6 p.m. on all 3 days. There's the New Mexico Artisans Market, which takes place at the Santa Fe Farmers Market from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. You already talked about Shine on Pakistan Folk Art Sale, right?
Yep.
So what else is going on?
Did you talk about, let me just make sure I've got the dates correct. Did you talk about the last performances of Popeye Speaks?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about the unsolicited poetry tour? Did we talk about this?
No.
Okay. On Tuesday the 6th at 7 p.m., David Rowe is going to read from his work at the Estancia Primera Clubhouse. That's the south entrance off Artist Road. If you turn right and drive to the bottom of the hill on Artist Road, if you call 670-0780, you can find out really how to get there. And you can find out more information. There's no charge for the unsolicited poetry tour. And by unsolicited, I assume it means
Well, what is
voluntary?
Solicited poetry?
I don't know. Sounds...
It's not like you get a lot of freelance gigs.
That's true. Well, you know, maybe he's trying to change that. Maybe. I mean, who knows? The first Wednesday Salon at Photo Eye is on Wednesday, the 7th. Photographer Edward Ranney discusses his work, and Fisher Press gallerist Christopher Benson discusses Benson's career. And that's in conjunction with the Fisher Press exhibit Archaeology and the Shape of Time. And also, Axel Contemporary's van will be parked outside the gallery for a preview of its exhibit, I Am Animal, Vegetable, Mineral. And that's 6:30 p.m. It runs till about 9 p.m. That's Wednesday the 7th at Photo Eye Gallery at 376A Garcia Street. And there's no charge for that either.
Excellent.
So that's good.
Now
we
here's
like free stuff.
One. Let's see. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, Life in a Day. Now that's a movie that I did an interview about. And did you see that film? Yeah, you
yes.
did. You reviewed it.
Mm-hmm.
It all takes place on, I think it was July 24th, 2010, and there are just hundreds and hundreds of people who actually contributed to it. So it is edited from the footage taken from thousands of people who sent in footage, and it's a wonderful movie. I just loved it. And it was gone, now it's back for the next 3 days at 10:30 in the morning. So
why'd it go away?
Because they had so many other things scheduled.
Ah.
They have a lot of... successful movies at the CCA, which I love. Independent movie theater.
Yes.
Having a bunch of hits. But this movie is one of my favorites. And Buck, of course, continues
apace. I was just going to ask you that. Buck is still bucking along, isn't he?
Buck is still bucking along.
But it's a great film. It's a really... it's not only is it a touching story, but, I mean... And, you know, a lot of people have said, oh, it's a horse movie. And it's really not a horse movie. It's a people movie. You know?
People horse movie.
Well, I mean, there are horses in it.
Yeah, it's about a horse trainer.
It's a horse trainer who understands that when people come to him with horses and say, my horse has a problem, generally what they're really saying is, I have a problem, and
well,
my horses know it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. That's true of dogs, too.
Yeah.
The movie Sarah's Key, which I haven't seen, but have you seen that movie?
No.
It's at the CCA. It's a Holocaust movie. About the notorious roundup of Jews in Paris in 1942 and a family secret.
Ooh.
And I've heard about it, and it looks heavy, and I've heard it's very good. Kristen Scott Thomas is in it. What?
Nothing.
Kristen Scott Thomas is funny?
Oh, not really.
No.
Santa Fe, Aspen Santa Fe Ballets is going to be at the Lenzing Performing Arts Center on Saturday, this Saturday, September 3rd, in a program that reflects Aspen's director's affinity for the work of contemporary European choreographers. And let's see, that is, what time is that? Oh, the performance begins at 8 p.m. on Saturday, and of course you can get tickets through the Lenzing. And then there's violist John Graham, who is the professor emeritus at the Eastman School of Music. Let's see, is it going to be him? Oh, he offers a free concert in the Great Hall of St. John's College at 3 p.m. on Sunday, September 4th, that includes classic pieces, as well as recent compositions involving an electric viola.
Nice.
Yeah. Assisting him is pianist Madeline Williamson and percussionist Scott Ney. So that's pretty cool. And then one of my favorite sort of local bands, Broom Dust Caravan, who described their sound as juke joint, honky tonk, biker bar, rock and roll.
That's
just
has rolls. A certain ring to it.
It does. I want that on a T-shirt, man. I mean, I wonder if they like tattooed that on their bodies anywhere, and how long that took, and where, and if it hurt or not. But they're going to be performing at 9 p.m. Friday, September 2nd, at Tin Star Saloon over there, 411 Water Street. That's like on the other side of Guadalupe Street, heading west, sort of near Vanessa and all. And all that stuff down there. And there's a small cover charge, but it's worth it. You can go and get your libation on and check out some Johnny Broomdust and Broomdust Caravan. That's going to be fun. And what else is going on? There's just so much.
I know, but for some reason I've exhausted the things that went into my calendar file.
Shall I go on?
Yes.
Shall I? Please do.
Okay.
Apronzo Italian Grill, pianist David Geist continues his sort of geisty cabaret thing that he does over there, and that's cool. What I love about most of these things is that David performs early, 6:15, but he runs through 9:15 p.m. So if you want to dine early, but you want to see hear some music while you're dining, you can do it at Pronzo, and David Geist will entertain you. And then there's
and he's very, very entertaining.
Yes,
he's lovely.
He's not a piano player. He's an entertainer.
He is a piano player and an entertainer.
Yes, well, yes.
It's not a floor wax. It's a dessert topping.
You read my mind. Santa Fe Flea at the Downs. I'm not sure how long this is going to be going on, but it's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on, I believe, Saturday, and maybe it's Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. At the Downs. And then there's a free shuttle that runs from the plaza in the Santa Fe Depot. If you call 982-2671 or go to santafeflea.com, which is kind of an unfortunate name for a website. With plague and flea and, you know. So.
Yeah, well.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Whatever. Are you doing anything special for Labor Day?
You know, I'm not doing a recording. I think I'm just going to probably do some work, but just, you know. I recorded that show.
You recorded that show, so you're...
Oh, and it will be a very... I think it'll be a very good show.
What is it?
I pre-recorded it. It's John Tierman, who wrote a book called The Deaths of Others, and it's about the fate of civilians in America's wars.
Oh, wow.
And it goes from the colonial period to the present, and basically the many, many, many people who have died and the... sometime indifference of the American public toward the deaths of people who aren't quote-unquote Americans.
Well, you don't generally hear about American civilian casualties when you hear about war in the mainstream media, really.
Well, and except for 9/11, there really aren't a lot of American civilian casualties. But for everybody who died in 9/11, we are responsible for the deaths of about 200 people or more in Iraq, mm-hmm. not even counting Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, very disturbing. And as we come, it taints the, you know, the very real memorializing of 9/11 in some ways, at least for me. Probably I'll get some nasty letters about that, but it's daunting. And so anyway, this guy is a professor at MIT. I think that's called the Center for International Studies, and he's a wonderful writer. He was a student and protege and friend of Howard Zinn's.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So that's some cheery morning stuff on KSFR.
Shall we go to more cheery things?
Mortuary things? Oh, more cheery things.
More cheery things.
Yes.
Cheerier things. Thursday, the 8th, besides Zosobra, of course, we have Cook with the Chef at the Farmer's Market. And one of my favorites is going to be out there. The series continues at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday at the Santa Fe Farmer's Market in the Rail Yard with Roland Richter of Joe's Restaurant, formerly Joe's Diner. His pad's over there, his place is over there on in Rodeo Plaza. This guy makes some of the best, like, handmade mozzarella.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love mozzarella, fresh mozzarella.
It ain't cheap, but, I mean, you can, if you time it right, you can go pick it up and it's still warm.
Mm.
Yeah. Call a couple of days ahead, I think, and he'll make some for you.
One of the things about watching this film, The Way, which was shot totally, at, like I said, on vacation, between France and Spain, is the food. Even just vicariously watching the film.
The food?
Yeah.
The food transfixes you?
Yes.
There's some films opening this week also.
Oh, good. What?
Well, we have Apollo 18, which some of these that I'm talking about are not reviewed in the Pasta Tiempo, but it's sort of a spin on a NASA mission. It says the found footage trend in, let's just put it this way. Think of Apollo, think of like a moon landing with monsters. It's a horror film, right? And so it's rated PG-13. It opens at Regal Stadium 14 and Dreamcatcher in Espanol and Storyteller in Taos. And also we have the Czech noir film Protector, which I had a chance to see. And it's very pretty to look at. And basically it's the story of this radio journalist who agrees to work as an on-air propagandist at a Prague radio station that comes under control of the Nazis. The problem is that his wife is Jewish, and the Nazis know this, but they're sort of giving him and her a pass because they need someone, they need someone who has been in Prague and is a personality and is known to kind of prop up the Nazis. And
what's the name of this movie?
It's called Protector.
Okay.
With a K, Protector. And it is really beautiful to look at. It's got a very interesting score with sort of a combination of house music and jazz. And there's lush period design. And it's the color palette's kind of washed out. It's very pretty, but the story kind of crumbles a little bit under the weight of all this beauty. It opens at the screen tonight, I believe. It opens at the screen. And then there's this great film which Bob Kerr gave four Chili's today. It's called The Guard, and it opens at Regal de Vargas. It's an unusual comedy set in a small town in Ireland and stars a spot-on Brendan Gleeson as a foul-mouthed, morally questionable cop who teams with a stuffy FBI agent, played by Don Cheadle, by the way.
Oh, I've seen previews for that.
Yeah, to take down drug traffickers. It's supposed to be hilarious. If there's a copy, I think, at the office that I get to look
yes,
at.
Yes, I think that it looks very, very funny.
This is one that I really want to see in the theater. There's a review today in the Pasta Tiempo on page 50. And what else is opening? What else is opening?
I finally saw Midnight in Paris, which was so good.
Oh, yeah. Midnight in Paris.
Missed that when it was, yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, it's just about time to go.
It's time to go. Well, listen, I'm not going to be here until... I don't get back to work until the 20th. I'm taking some time off.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Have a nice holiday.
I will.
And Robert Knott will be with us next week.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. I'll remind him today.
Well, Rob DeWalt is with the Pasta Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, merci beaucoup.
Mercy buckets.
And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta.
Yay!
Yay! And thanks to everybody. Thanks also to Hector Noriega, who's a wonderful intern at KSFR, and to all the fabulous staff of KSFR, engineer George Weston, Sean Conlin, Marilyn LeBlanc, Linda Highhill. Got a great team over there, and we will see you on Monday. Actually, I will not be live. I'll be sleeping in on Monday.
Yay. Oh, it's Labor Day weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend, and have a great Labor Day weekend. Drive safely indeed. Be nice to your dogs.
Bye.
Bye.